We are continuing in our mini-series on the names of God. And tonight we are dealing with one of the names, Yahweh Shema. And that's a little bit easier to say than last time. But why don't we try together? Yahweh Shema. Yahweh Shema. Yahweh the Lord. And then Shema, the idea of is there. And what would that mean and why would that be important? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, as many of you know, Nance and I, our background is Roman Catholic. So we're used to going to church, quote unquote, worshiping in buildings with very tall ceilings, with lots of stained glass windows, with candles lit and incense burning, churches that are supposed to help you kind of think about God. The idea that there's something special about that place. Typically, you wouldn't lock the doors. Maybe at nighttime. But the idea is, why would you lock the doors? Because somebody might need to talk to God. Like, where would you go in the middle of the day if you wanted to talk to God? Well, you would go down to, you know, whatever, Our Lady of Mount Carmel or St. Mary's or whatever. And you would go in that building because that building, in a special way, was the place where God was. And the best I know, if you ask the Roman Catholic priest, do you believe that God's omnipresent? He would say yes. He would realize, yeah, the Catholic priest would even realize it's not like God lives there, but there's something special, very, very special about that place. In that sense, a little bit, maybe that's what it feels like to be Jewish and to come to the temple. It's not a perfect parallel. But if you wanted to worship the Lord in the Old Testament era, you didn't just have a little building like ours and everybody come together and worship. You come to the temple, and as we've been reviewing in Hebrews, and there's a very prescribed way of doing things, and there's a very specific priesthood, and they had very specific jobs, and the average guy just couldn't pop into the temple and walk through that first curtain, into the second curtain, into the Holy of Holies, whatever, because that simply wasn't allowed. That temple pictured the presence of God in a special way. Now, and again, back then they knew that God was omnipresent, that God was everywhere. But there was still something incredibly special about that building. You say, why do you bring that up? Because today we're covering the Lord is there, Yahweh Shema, and it comes actually from the very last verse in the book of Ezekiel. I have Ezekiel, and I have the verses on the screen, I believe. Ezekiel 48, verse 35, very last one. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. You say, okay, so what's going on? Let's set that up just a little bit with a couple of points. You can fill in a little bit on your handout if you'd like. Ready? What's our first point? Israel's sin led to God's judgment. So God's people, Israel, turn away from Him. And what is God's judgment? Captivity. The people are taken out of Jerusalem, out of Israel. So there's Babylonian captivity, and then there's the fall of Jerusalem. Now again, that's a big deal because Jerusalem is where the temple is, and the temple represents the presence of God, and that's where we go to commune with God, and God is showing His people a first covenant that He's abandoning them because of their sin, and that's why this is taking place. One verse, and I Ezekiel's so big, and maybe this is one verse that gives us that sense. Ezekiel 24:14. I, the Lord, have spoken. It is coming, and I will act. I will not relent, and I will not pity, and I will not be sorry. According to your ways and according to your deeds, I will judge you, declares the Lord God. So the Lord is making it clear the reason that captivity's taken place, and it had already begun. And as this was written, if I'm thinking correctly, Jerusalem was just about to fall. Part of the captivity has already gone on. And the Lord is saying, this is all taking place because of your sin. So no, I will not relent. You've walked away from me. Judgment is coming. And Jerusalem is going to fall, which means the temple is going to be destroyed. So the first point, Israel's sin led to God's judgment, captivity, and the fall of Jerusalem, which of course includes the destruction of the temple. Number two, yet all through Ezekiel is this wonderful promise. The Lord promised one day that he would gather his people back together and he would cleanse them and he would give them a new heart and he would put the blessed Holy Spirit in them and they would follow him. And this is one of those great new covenant chapters, Ezekiel. I have it on the screen here in chapter 36. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all your idols. And so here is the Lord making this great promise that he is going to restore his people. He's going to continue. It goes on in the next verse. I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And then all the way down to verse 27 and 8. I will put my spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes. You will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people. And I will be your God. So if I'm setting this up, I'm hoping I'm making this somewhat clear at least. Israel sins against God. God says, okay, you're going out into captivity and this whole city is going down, including the temple. And that would be so devastating to hear. But there's always hope and there's always a remnant. And the Lord says there's coming a time where he will gather Israel back together. And there will be a day when they will believe in the Lord again. And perhaps somebody would say, but what about the temple? I mean, like, what about the temple? And that's our third point. The Lord promised to rebuild Jerusalem and dwell with his people. Jerusalem will be rebuilt and the temple will be rebuilt. And when you get to the end of Ezekiel, there's a lot of chapters, which, to be honest, are not exciting to read. A lot of text on all the dimensions of the city of Jerusalem and all of the dimensions of the temple. But the best part is when you come to the very end. Again, the last verse in Ezekiel. Here it is again, Ezekiel 48:35. And the name of the city from that day shall be Yahweh Shema. The Lord is there. So the Lord's promising his people, even though you're in captivity, city's gone, temple's gone, and it's because of your sin, yet there is coming a day where Israel will be restored in its land, the temple will be built, and I will dwell in that city. I will be there. The Lord is there. The Lord will be with his people. And that's one of the names of the Lord. Again, we could say Jehovah, if you prefer that, Shema, or Yahweh Shema, or just in English, the Lord is there. Now, as we think about that, you say, okay, Greg, so we're not Jewish and we might not think of buildings the way they did in the Old Testament, and we don't, right? You know, real quick, is there anything holy about this building? No, it's a building, okay? And if this building were to go down, it would not be a problem at all. It's just a building. You say, then how does the Lord dwell with us today? Well, remember this, number four. The Lord came to dwell with us in the person of Jesus. So when we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially at Christmas time, we give it special emphasis, right? Matthew 1:23 says this, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus Christ came. He set up his tent. He tabernacled. He lived in the flesh, right in the middle, so that people all around could see, yes, the Lord is with us. We are so thankful that Jesus came, God in the flesh, so that the Lord could be with us. But more than that, number five, the Lord now dwells in us if you're a believer in Jesus. The Lord dwells in believers through the person of the Holy Spirit. So in the person of Jesus, we have God with us. But in the person of the Holy Spirit, we have God in us, right? Which means what? Many of you know 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. Where is the Lord living today? Well, it's not like the Old Testament era. And again, he was obviously omnipresent there as well. But where there was a special emphasis on one building. But here is an emphasis that the temple of the Holy Spirit today, it's within. And I have the Lord with me no matter where I go. And it's awesome. And if I want to pray a little bit, I don't need to like call up the church and call up our secretary or, you know, hey, Rosie, is the church unlocked? I need to spend some time with God. I need to get in there, you know. I even hear sometimes people say, and I want to be careful. This is not bad to have. But some people say, I have a special prayer closet where I go to meet with God. You can have a special place to pray. Let's just make sure you realize wherever that place is, God is no more there than he is right here. Because God is with you wherever you go. You know, I've had people say when I'm really burdened for something, there's a special place I like to go and meet with God. Again, you meet with God, but just remember you're meeting with him because you're taking him with you. That's the wonder of being a believer in Jesus Christ. God is with me. And again, if you like to go for a walk in the woods or you have a special place where you just like to quietly pray and meditate, no problem. I just want to make it clear you can be in downtown Greenville surrounded by buses and cars and people, and the Lord is just as much with you. Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So yes, Israel's sin led them into judgment, which includes the fall of the temple, which, again, in their way of thinking is just horrible. Yet God promised one day he's going to bring his people back together. He's going to cleanse them, give them a new heart. And even more than that, he's going to rebuild the city, including the temple. And he is going to be there, even as he is with us now, even as we will always be with him. Our final text of the night, John 14:3, the Lord will dwell with us forever. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so forever we will be with the Lord. The Lord is there. The Lord is with us. The Lord is in us. And if you have turned from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ and you're trusting in his death on a cross to pay the price of your sin, then you can be confident that the Lord is with you. The Lord is in you and you will always be with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just an opportunity to spend a brief amount of time reviewing yet another wonderful name, Yahweh Shema, that you are there, that you are with your people. We ask that you would encourage us all through it, that all of us, I trust, knowing you, would be drawn closer to you. If, Lord, there would be anyone here who yet doesn't know you, that even this evening that would change. And now as we would get together in our groups and talk about this and pray together, we ask that you would continue to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.